Let's get right to the Word of God, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we're going to read five verses together. Thank you, worship team, for that beautiful worship this morning. Anybody grateful for those beautiful songs? Before the Passover celebration, this is Thursday before Good Friday, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So Jesus knew that the Father, watch this, knew that the Father had given him authority over everything. He had authority over everything. Watch that. He had authority over everything. And that he had come from God and that he would return to God. So here's his response to having all authority. He got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. And I just want to talk for a few minutes today from the idea towel over title, towel over title. Somebody say, pick up your towel.
Pick up your towel.
Pick up your towel. Lord, speak to us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody. Amen. Thank you. So we find ourselves at the beginning of what is called the Last Supper. This is Thursday night. They are having dinner, and this conversation over dinner is going to happen in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and is going to end with prayer in chapter 17. And so this is the dinner right before Good Friday. This meal happened on what church history calls Maundy Thursday. Maundy means commands. And so it's at the dinner table that Jesus is going to give some of his most famous and important teachings and commands. If you're getting a little, let me just talk to maybe my seasoned saints. If you're getting a little tired or you're in a little bit of a mundane flow with Bible reading, I would camp out in John 13 through 17 for a month because there are such important and rich teachings. Imagine this. This is Jesus having a last few hours with his disciples before he's crucified. So imagine the importance of the things he's going to talk about. In this dinner, he's going to talk about praying in his name, praying in the name of Jesus. He's going to talk to us about the power of Holy Communion, about remaining in the vine, abiding in their source. He's going to talk about receiving the supernatural peace of God, the peace that only God can give, not that the world can give. He's going to talk about the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to warn them and prepare them for coming persecution. He's going to end the dinner by praying over them and over the church and even over the future church, us, in John chapter 17. I mean, these are power-packed chapters and power-packed verses. But before he preaches, before he teaches, and before he gives them their final instructions, before he gives them their commands, he picks up a towel and he grabs a basin of water and he begins to wash their feet. Because Jesus knows that our greatest sermons will be the life we live, not the words we say. So before he teaches for hours about some of the most important Christian principles, he first shows us the Christian life. That what our life should look like is it should look like service. That what our life should look like is it should look like washing feet. That what our life should look like is giving our lives away in service to others. That if we claim to serve God, but we can't serve people, we don't really serve God. If we say we love God, but don't love people, we don't really love God. That it is at foot washing that we are free from immaturity and deception. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. So here's the first thing I want to say to you. No one is beyond servanthood. No one is beyond servanthood. He had all authority and he served. He knew he had all authority and he served. I got a question for you. What do you do when you know you're the most powerful person in the room? Well, I know what Jesus did. He served. What do I do with my authority? Oh man, we are after status and we are after authority and we are after growth and we are after influence and we are and none of those things are necessarily wrong, but what do you do with it? What do you do when God blesses you? What do you do when God elevates you? What do you do when you're the most important person in the room? Well, we can learn something from Jesus. He uses all that God put on him and he gave it away. Romans 15:2, strength, I love this from the Message. Strength is for service, not for status. Ooh, let me talk to all the husbands. I know I'm always beating up on you guys and you keep showing back up. I'm the head of this house. Strength is for service. I'm the man of this. Strength is for. I'm the priest of this hope. Strength is for service. I'm the dad. And that's why strength is for service. Not status. God doesn't give me strength so I have more status. God gives me strength so I can serve more. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us. That's all we're responsible for. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm just trying to help my world. I'm just looking out for those around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Strength is for service. Your gift is for service. Your ability is for service. Your anointing is for service. Your God idea is for service. Your blessing is for service. Your wealth is for service. It's for serving who? Well, your family, your coworker, your friends, your neighbor, your city, maybe your world. See, Jesus said we would be salt and light, which means that the world should be better because the church is here. And it is, by the way, and it is. Now, when I say this, I'm not talking about some progressive social justice program. I'm not talking about woke ideas of wealth distribution. I'm not talking about that, so relax. I'm talking about whatever God has blessed you with, it should not end with you. That's what I'm saying. See, the scripture talks about our life being like a river. Not like the Dead Sea that takes. And with all the fresh water that goes into that Dead Sea from the Jordan River, it dies on contact because it has nowhere to go. What good is God blessing you and blessing you and blessing you and blessing you just so you can stare at your bank account? What good is all these gifts and anointings and callings and things and strengths that God has put on you only to hold it to yourself and just become a critic of the world? No. God has not gifted me to criticize. God has gifted me to serve. What I'm saying is that everything that God has put on you should eventually flow through you. I'm just talking about service this morning. Look what the scripture said in Matthew 25. Jesus speaks of the end of days, and he says that the king will say to those on his right, come, all who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. How do I enter into the kingdom of heaven? Well, here's a few things that should be a picture of the believer. These things do not save us, but they are the fruit of the saved. Does that make sense? You don't walk up to an apple tree and they say, I'm an orange tree, dog. I'm an orange tree. No, I see apples. I'm a Christian. Do you have the fruit of verse 35 and 36? Because if you don't, you think you're a Christian. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And here's what every believer will do in response. Jesus says, we will say, Lord, when were you hungry? When did we visit you? When were you sick? When were you thirsty? And Jesus will say this, if you've done it to anyone, you've done it to me. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about picking up our towels this morning. I'm talking about a better way this morning. Jesus takes how you treat others very personally. Can I prove that? Leave that up. Leave that up for a second while we digest that. Let me prove it to you real quick. Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, is persecuting the church. Everybody say the church. Okay, he's persecuting the church. And Jesus knocks him off his donkey in Acts chapter 9 and says this question. Does any Bible scholars in here? Why are you persecuting me? It's a well-taught church. Amen. Did you catch that? He did not say, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting the church? Why are you persecuting the believers? Why are you persecuting the apostles? Why are you persecuting the disciples? Why are you persecuting those children and those women? He said, why are you touching me? Because when you touch the church, you touch God. This is why I'm very careful about how I treat people. Because Jesus takes how I treat others very personally. Serving. I have authority, but I'm serving. I do not mature past servanthood. My maturity is proven by my servanthood. Wow. See, I've still never met a child, your child or mine, who has walked up to me and said, yours. It's always the same. We can say that their first words were dada or mama or goo goo or gaga, but we all know their first word was mine. And as long as I'm trying to hold on to my title, and as long as I'm refusing the towel, I'm missing the kingdom. So as I grow, I serve, and as I grow, I give, and as I grow, I yield. And I know that I'm growing in my faith by how I serve you. Wow, so I have to know that no one is beyond servanthood, even Jesus. And if Jesus is not beyond servanthood, I'm not beyond servanthood. Number two, I have to choose the towel. To choose the towel. I don't know if you noticed that they're all at dinner. And the scripture says he got up and filled a basin with water. And he grabbed the towel from his waist and he began to serve the men around him. See, I love what Joyce Meyer taught. Humility is unannounced. Yeah, you know, I'm a real servant. It's unannounced. If I have to announce it, it's no longer service. It's unannounced. He didn't make a big deal of it. He didn't announce that he had all authority, but he was going to serve. He didn't announce that this was really below him. He just served. He had the title, but he chose the towel. And he began to do a job. This is amazing as I was studying. A job that was so looked down upon. Because these people were barefoot, right? They walked in. They were barefoot or had very, you know, uncovered sandals. Their feet were disgusting. They're walking through dirt and mud and everything that would have been in those at that time. This was such a look down upon job that it was illegal if you were a Jewish person to ask another Jewish person to wash your feet. So if I was a Jewish person and I hired a Jewish maid, I could not ask them to wash my feet. It was illegal. It had to be a foreigner. It had to be someone of a different race because it was so looked down upon to do. You couldn't ask someone to do something so demeaning. And here's Jesus. A Jewish man washing Jewish men's feet. This is why they were appalled. This is why they were shocked. This is why Peter says, you can't do this to me. And it's here that the writer, Apostle Paul in Philippians 2:5 says, you've got to have this same attitude. And some of you are getting nervous. Don't worry, we're not washing feet today. Everyone's keeping their shoes on in Jesus' name. It's a principle. It's a principle. It's an attitude. It's a mindset that was in Christ Jesus, that I can have the same attitude, same mindset, same spirit as Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. Having this attitude. Some of your Bibles say having this mind that was in Christ. You know what that means? That it means it's a choice. You want to see a great marriage? They've learned to be great servants, and they've learned to be great forgivers. It's not always chemistry. It's not even things in common. My wife and I are two of the most opposite people on the planet. We really are. We're just opposite. We're opposite. Even when we're not opposite, we're both so combative that we'll disagree because it's just fun. Because that's just, you know, you like steak? Well, I did like steak. Now I like fish. You know, it's just like that's who we are. We're in counseling. Amen. We got a lot of drama. My point is, but we have a great marriage. We legit have a great marriage. We really do. I'm like, we really do, guys. Trust me. No, we really do. It's because we have become very skilled at serving and at forgiving. And it's brought us together. Look at that, having the same attitude. You know what that means? It means that there's no gifting required, no skill required, no money required, no talent required. Just a heart that wants to bless others. Dr. King said anyone can be great because anyone can serve. Here's a great question. I'd love for this to just get in your spirit, write it down and chew on it for a couple of days. How can I help? What if you took that on in your marriage? Mm-mm-mm. I didn't even get an amen. I got one. How can I help? What if you had a family meeting this week? It's going to get awkward. What if you had a family meeting this week? And you looked at your family, Dad, and you looked at your wife, and you looked at your kids and said, how can I help? Wife, what if you looked at your husband this week and grabbed him and said, how can I help? He's going to ask for more sex, just so you know. It's going to come up, just so you know. So don't ask if you don't want the truth, but he is going to ask for that. So just so you know, leave that in the tape. Married people need to hear that. But he is. But if he's honest, if he lies, if he doesn't say that, he's lying. But anyway, how can I help? Go ahead, get offended and then laugh because have a personality. Just relax. How can I help? Need help around the house? Can I help with the kids in the morning? Can I help putting them to bed at night? How can I help? Do you need me to do the laundry? How can I help? What if that became how can I help? What if you had a family meeting every couple of weeks, maybe once a month, you and your spouse get together and just say, do you feel helped? Can I help? How can I help? And and I'm not going to punish you for telling me the truth. How can I help? How can I help? I'm just telling you. See, because and here's why I'm pushing this. Because serving in the moment doesn't feel supernatural. But it yields supernatural results. Let me explain it this way. Every week, on average, we see about 55 people come to Jesus every week in this church. Is that not amazing? 55. Baptisms by the hundreds. Just powerful. I was talking to my friend the other day, and I just said the word fruit on the phone, and my daughter went, "The fruit of the Spirit?" And I looked, we were in the car, and I looked in the mirror. I said, "Yeah, what is it?" I was on the phone with Uncle Dave, who's Pastor David Hall. And she goes, "Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self," I don't even know what they are anymore, "self-control." And she gave them. Very supernatural. And I'm crying. That's right, honey. All these supernatural things happen on a Sunday. Why? Because about 30 people got up this morning at 4 or 5 a.m. and they picked up a towel. No, not a towel. They were a lot heavier than towels. They picked up speakers and they rolled in cases and they hung signs and they fell off carts. They didn't sue us, amen, because they love us, and they brewed coffee and they picked up breakfast burritos for the 8:45 and they put towels on every seat and they were dialing in all these. You know, every one of these musicians could just go play at a church where they just walk in, plug in, play, get paid, walk out. But they play for us, and they come in, and they've got to set up their own gear, and they got to break down after, and it's kind of one of these weird unspoken things, like, and you need to kind of help with tear down, and you kind of, no pressure, but if you love God, you will. And if you came here on a Sunday at 6 a.m. from about Sunday to about 8, I mean, from 6 a.m. to about 8:15, it just kind of feels like washing feet. And then about 8:15, we start a pre-service prayer meeting in here. The atmosphere starts to change.
Yes, that's right.
And about 8:45, the worship starts and the atmosphere starts to change. And all of a sudden, it starts feeling very supernatural. And what I just testified about every person on our load-in and load-out team, that can be your testimony about your family. They just showed up. Dad was just there. Mom was just there. My friends were there when I needed. They just showed up. Not with their titles, but with their towels. So lastly, this is a bold request. Give your life away. You don't know the joy of Christianity till you hit this point. Where your life is not your own anymore. It really belongs to Jesus. So Jesus finishes washing their feet. And then he asks them this question, John 13, verse 12. Now this is 7 verses later. "Don't you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." He says, "This is what I've done. And I want you to do it. I want you to follow my example of taking towels, not titles. to give your life away in service to others, to sow your life with open hands. He says, this is it. This is it, that if you identify with me, if I am teacher, if I am Lord, if I am king of your life, the way that will look like is it will look like you're a foot washer. Again, it's not the literal act of washing feet. It is the life of service to another. It is the picture of bowing low. It is the picture of doing whatever needs to be done. It's the picture of I have more capacity than my current opportunity. And I've learned to not complain about that. I've learned to thrive in that. Ooh. Let me have the keys come up. Jesus said this, Matthew 10, if you try to keep your life, you lose it. But if you give it up for me, you'll find it. Wow. Just think about these beautiful and yet sobering words. I am not saying that you cannot have I'm not telling you that you cannot fight for and believe for and have an amazing life. But I am saying that in Jesus and in the kingdom of God, all that God does with me and for me and around me, he does because I have open hands. See, if I keep fighting for what's mine, I will end up losing what God has for me. So I live with an open hand and I allow God to be the source of my life, because if I'm keeping it, if I'm trying to save it, I end up losing it anyway. Because for the most part, I'm living in this kind of deception that I'm controlling it. So you end up just opening your hands and saying, okay, God, I'm going to live this way. I'm going to live a life of surrender to God and to whatever God has for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. Think about that. That's God's will for your life. That's God's will for your family. That's God's will for your finance. That's God's will for your faith. That's God's will for your future. That's God's will for your physical body, for your health. God has this beautiful, amazing, wide, open, spacious life for you. Is that not awesome? And Paul goes, I didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Preach, Paul. My God. Man, I hope you're... Because there's this thing that wants to... I've got a title. I'm too good for that. Do you not know I have all authority? Do you not know that? Do you not know that I'm the Savior of all? Hail King Jesus. Well, Jesus knew that time would come. But first there was surrender. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. For the sake of my sermon, you've chosen the title over the towel. You've chosen what you can do, not what God can do. You've chosen to take your life instead of give your life. You've chosen to keep your life instead of give your life. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and live expansively. Think about God's will for your life. It's wide open. It's openly and it's expansively. That's where I want to live. But I don't get that if I'm living in a small way. And I come from nothing. So everything in me, even at 40 years old, and I've fought a lot of it off and I've broken a lot of it off and I'm breaking the rest of it off. But even at 40, I can still find myself in survival. Yeah. Like I'm still too defensive. I'm just still too defensive. And don't walk out afterwards and say, yeah, Pastor, I've been feeling that. I've been praying for you. No, don't do that. Don't punish me for being open. And I still have to fight that by living open and giving. Because when you come from not enough, that can still try to lie to you. They'll never be enough. They'll never be enough. They'll never be enough. They'll never be enough. And until you break it with giving, with serving, with watching, with, you don't get to experience the wide open, spacious life. So now I'm in a place where I have this big life, big influence, bigger than anything I could have ever dreamed of. But if I'm not careful, I will still experience the smallness. I will fence myself in because I refuse to attach to the greater thing God has for me. Oh, I'm just trying to help you today. I'm telling you every day I still got to pick up the towel and not care about the title. And as long as I'll wash the feet of the people God's put in my life, God will do whatever he's gonna do with me. Can I get an amen? I hope you heard my heart, because I'm about to call people to serve, but I wanna take a time out and I almost wanna end service and then restart service. I really want you to take this back to your family. I really want you to take this back to your workplace. I want you to embrace a spirit, a mindset, an attitude of servanthood in everything you do. You will never come in last if you put God first.
Yeah, that's right.
God never leads you into lack or less. But the temptation is, if I become a servant, I'm going to become a doormat. No. When you become a servant, God becomes your elevator. So I want you to embrace this as a way of living, okay? Not just that. And secondly, I want to challenge many of you. I want to challenge many of you to jump in here. Jump into this house and begin to serve. I really do. Was this whole sermon a setup? No, it actually wasn't. It's a sermon I've had on my heart. I told Shannon, I don't know, probably 2 months ago. I said, I want to do a towel title sermon. I want us to buy towels. It's been in my heart. I just had to get through the breakthrough series that turned into an eternity. Let me show you this little cool stat. In the last year, City Light has grown by 30%. But our serve team has only grown by 18%. And what that means is there's some people in here checking us out. Can I encourage you? Maybe it's time to pick up a towel I'm really excited about this. Our children's ministry has grown by 53%. Isn't that awesome? Our kids' surf team has grown by 38%. I'm looking for some people to join that team. We need 90 people a Sunday. The average church in America is 55 people. Okay, we need two churches a Sunday just for kids. Maybe join that team. I'm telling you, jump in to what God's doing here. Join a team. I'm busy, so am I. I got a lot on my plate. Join the club. But give your life away. I don't want to. Well, then don't. Right? What? That's it. All right. Done. So I want to give you two opportunities that are going to come up on the screen. If you've never taken next steps, I want to talk about next steps for a second. Dude, it's 1 hour. It's 1 hour, not even an hour. And it's all on your computer. It's all on your phone. It's all on your laptop, whatever you do. If you've never taken next steps, you're not committing to anything by going through next steps. Other than you're committing to finding out more about the church. So if you've never taken next steps, I want you to hit that QR code on the left. And I want to challenge you to go through next steps. Others of you have completed next steps, but you're not serving. Hey, jump on a team. I want to encourage you to jump on a team. I want to challenge many of you. Well, you know, I've been taking a break. How long? About a year. That's enough. You know, I served a lot at my old church, but I haven't been serving here. How long have you been coming here? 8 months. That's enough. It's time to. You had your Sabbath. Amen. You had your sabbatical. You took your day of rest. Jump in. We need you. You know, there's an anointing on you. There's a strength on you. There's a wisdom on you. There's a way you see the world. There's a spiritual well in you that we need. That our church would be so much better with you involved instead of you just attending. Jump in. Jump into what God's doing. Jump into what God's doing.